I remember the time.
I remember the time when in darkness I wandered farther from home.
On the mountain of sin.
On the mountain of sin. I have traveled so long. I have traveled so long.
Like the prodigal son.
Like the prodigal son. All my goods I have squandered. Sadly I roam.
But the Savior came in.
But the Savior came in. And he gave me a song.
Once a beautiful song.
I can tell you now the time.
I can tell you the time.
I can take you to the place.
I can show you the place
where the Lord saved me.
Where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. By His wonderful grace.
In His word He told me how.
Yes, He told me the how.
And He also told me why.
Also told me the why.
And He'll tell me all about it.
He will tell me all about it in the by and by.
In the by and by.
Just a sinner was I.
Just a sinner was I. Far away from my Savior, going alone.
With no hope of reward.
With no hope of reward.
At the end of the way.
At the end of the way.
But God sent His Son down.
But God sent His Son down. And He gave me His favor over my home.
Now I'm singing His praise.
Now I'm singing His praise. For He saved me that day.
Truly saved me that day.
I can tell you now the time.
I can tell you the time.
I can take you to the place.
I can show you the place
where the Lord saved me.
Where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace.
By His wonderful grace.
In His word He told me how.
Yes, He told me the how.
And He also told me why.
Also told me the why.
And He'll tell me all about it.
He will tell me all about it in the by and by.
In the by and by.
I can tell you now the time.
I can tell you the time.
I can take you to the place.
I can show you the place
where the Lord saved me.
Where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace.
By His wonderful grace.
In His word He told me how.
Yes, He told me the how.
And He also told me why.
Also told me the why.
And He'll tell me all about it.
He will tell me all about it in the by and by.
In the by.
I remember the time.
Today's show will begin a little bit differently than what we had planned, and I want to take just a moment to challenge you on something. If you have been praying for our country, I thank you. And if you haven't been, I want you to start. Repentance involves a change in action, and repentance is a very biblical statement of what happens when we come up upon the revelation of God and realize our shortfall. I have encouraged you in the past, and I hope that you've held on to this, that you need to be in constant prayer both for the leaders of our country and for our own faith. You need to be teaching, you need to be working, but you need to be praying that our leaders will mature and will become the leadership that they need to be. I encourage you to do that. Be opening your Bible to Mark chapter 1. We're going to begin our study there this morning with what to me perhaps is one of the most exciting statements of the entire gospel account of Jesus. Now, when I say gospel account, I mean Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the prophecies of the Old Testament, the fulfillment and the new, the whole thing. In the story of Jesus, these verses that we're going to study in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, contain one statement that offers hope to everyone, that offers reality of life to anyone who will take Jesus at His word. We're going to be studying a passage that talks about one specific event that went on as Jesus began to preach the gospel. If you remember, we left our program last week with the statement made in verse 15 of Mark chapter 1, of Jesus' message as He preached. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus challenged people to believe the good news of God, that no longer was it all about the kingdoms of the world. It was the kingdom that Jesus preached that made the difference. We looked at a passage in Matthew 16:28, remember? Where Jesus said that some of the disciples that were standing there listening to Him would not die before they saw the kingdom come with power. We looked at the statement of the Apostle Paul by inspiration of the Spirit in Colossians 1 in verse 13 that talked about how though we had been in the domain of Satan, we now have been transferred into the kingdom of God's own Son. Do you remember that? That's the message Jesus was preaching. What did that message include? Well, many things. The salvation, the repentance, the change that comes over us. And lo and behold, that last word, change, is what this passage is about. Begin with me in Mark chapter 1, verse 16, and we'll read down through verse 20. As Jesus was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. Now, if you didn't catch it, there is a little statement in here that offers to me that I don't have to settle for who I am. I can be me changed by Jesus. There is a statement recorded in here that offers to you that you don't have to be who you are. You can be changed by Jesus. As Jesus was talking in here, there is a statement that he makes in verse 17. Now, we're going to understand by the end of this study that it involves a condition that we've got to submit to. But I want you to see what Jesus says that he can accomplish. Notice the statement of Jesus in verse 17 that he spoke to Simon and Andrew. Simon, that is Peter, and Andrew, his brother. "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." I will make you become. One translation simply says, "I will make you to become." What it means is that Jesus is making a statement here that he can change a person from who they are to who he wants them to be. I'm ever so thankful for that. I, as the Bible statement goes, repent in sackcloth and ashes over the shortfalls in my life and my service to God, and the various things that I fall so far short in. As one song says, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, and love lifted me." It is what Jesus did that makes us to be. I will make you become. I will make you become. Five words that change life. It is not the church that has the power to change you. It is not the positive peer pressure of Christians around you that has the power to change you. It is not the laws passed by our government that changes you. It's not the upbringing that you have that can change you. It is Jesus who can change you. The change is conditional. I told you that a while ago. And I want you to understand that in this glimpse of Christ that we see here, Jesus himself sets down what is a necessity for this change to take place. Two words describe it. Follow me. Follow me. It's interesting to me that in one statement of the Great Commission, Jesus made three different statements of the Great Commission. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, at various points after his resurrection. In Matthew's recording of Jesus' statement as the disciples gather to him on a mountain, the 11 that are left after Judas betrayed Jesus, he says that they are to go into the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. That's what follow me is about. A disciple is not somebody that's a student of a person. Is somebody that's a conformer to the mind and soul of their master. It's a much stronger word than pupil or student. It is a word that talks about the inward control that the master has over the life of the disciple. That's why Jesus said to these men, follow me. You see, it's not in just well-wishing that you are able to be changed. It's not in good intentions that you are able to be changed. It is simply and solely in following Jesus. Why is it important that we see these glimpses of Christ? Why is it important that we understand what Paul said in Philippians 2? Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is essential that we understand that the point of our life and the plan of God from the creation, in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for instance, is that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the only image we can take on. Follow me, and I will make you become. You see, Jesus can change who you are. He can change what you desire. But you know, the problem that people have with this, and I've heard it said in various ways at various times, is if a person commits themselves to God, then they say, well, I don't feel any different. You know, we expect a miraculous change, but witness what Jesus was getting at here. It took an investment of time for the change Jesus is talking about to take place. Does that mean that God is not able to miraculously change a person? Doesn't mean that. But that's sure not what Jesus is talking about here. If you believe that God miraculously changes people, that might be another study. But right here, what Jesus says is, number one, you follow me. Number two, I'll make you become. You see, what we witness in the gospel accounts and what we witness throughout the balance of the New Testament is the fact that these men begin to walk with Jesus, to listen to Jesus, to follow Him, to challenge Him, and to be challenged by Him. And over the next 3+ years, Simon and Andrew, James and John, Matthew and all the others that were made up the 12 followed Jesus. And as they walked with Him and listened to Him, sometimes they were totally fooled by what they thought as to what Jesus actually meant. Remember the story that we studied in the last few weeks of the woman at the well. Remember how when they came back from town with the food, no one said to Him, who is she? Why are you talking to her? That's because maybe we would say they had been burned a little bit before. They had challenged Jesus on some of the things He did. Remember the time that the woman in the crowd thought that if I can only reach up and touch Him, I'll be made well? And she did. And then Jesus said, someone touched me. And the disciples said, well, Lord, you're in the crowd. Everybody was touching you. You see, they had to understand what Jesus was getting at. It was a challenge for them. It was a challenge to follow me so that I will make you become. This is not an overnight thing. You know, if you're like me, it's taken you years to get to be who you are. How long will it take to change you from who you are to who Jesus wants you to be? To some degree, it depends on the submission that you are willing to take on. But to the only degree that matters, to the very end, it simply matters who you are following. Jesus had a way with words that escapes us at times. The times that it escapes us is when we speak for ourselves instead of speaking as the oracles of God, that is, saying what He said. I would challenge you to realize that in this statement that Jesus made, we find the two expected and necessary elements of what we must have. Number one, the willingness to follow Him. Number two, the truth of the promise that He can change us. He will not force us. He will not force you to follow Him. He will let you make the decision you make. But if you follow Him, you get ready, because you'll be changed. Just a few moments, we'll continue our study. Right now, a song.
When my hair to silver is turning and my form is bending low, I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home
some sweet day.
Some sweet day.
When my time and talents are given and I hear the call to go, I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home
some sweet day.
Some sweet day.
I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home to see my King. And won't it be sweet,
and won't it be sweet to ever stay?
When my evening sun,
when my evening sun, when my evening sun is sinking,
I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home
some sweet day,
some sweet day.
When my cares and troubles are ended, I will meet you round the throne. I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home
some sweet day,
some sweet day.
Won't it be a wonderful meeting in that bright immortal home? I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home
some sweet day,
some sweet day.
I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home to see my King. And won't it be sweet,
and won't it be sweet to ever stay,
when my evening sun,
when my evening sun, when my evening sun is sinking,
I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home
some sweet day,
some sweet day.
I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home to see my King. And won't it be sweet,
and won't it be sweet to ever stay,
when my evening sun,
when my evening sun, when my evening sun is sinking
low, I'll sail away home,
I'll sail away home
some sweet day,
some sweet day.
As is very often the case, the event that we studied here in the first segment in the Gospel of Mark is expanded on in the Gospel of Luke. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5 for just a moment, because there is something very important here to see. Now, Mark gives us an overview. Mark is always dealing in a very passing way with the events that happen. There's no contradiction between Mark and Luke, but Luke simply gives us a little more detail of what went on that day that Jesus called Simon and Andrew. So what we look at here is what happened when Jesus was teaching. He had got into, verse 3 of Luke chapter 5 tells us, one of the boats to teach. You remember Mark said he was teaching by the sea, and Simon and Andrew were there. He had asked them to put out into the water just enough that Jesus could have a little space to talk to the crowd. Look at verse 3. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. Now, you can just envision that in your mind. If the seashore was a little bit sloped, here's the massive crowd of people gathered there to listen to Jesus. Jesus is sitting in the boat. He can see the crowd. The crowd can see him. Peter's in the boat, listening to Jesus. Verse 4 tells us that when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water, and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say, and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish. Their nets began to break, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." And that's when Jesus began to talk to Peter about following him. I want you to look at the event that happened that day and notice again a very important phrase. This time, it's in the words of Peter. As we look there in verse 5 of Luke chapter 5, we see that Peter acknowledges that all night long they've been fishing and the fishing hadn't been good. But simply because Jesus said so, he would again let down the nets. You might not realize how important that concept is. But in following Jesus, sometimes things don't make sense. Jesus tells you to bless your enemies, for instance. Pray for those who persecute you. What sense does that make? Wouldn't it make more sense to just get a gun and kill the people that persecute you and stop the persecution? Well, you see, what Jesus says sometimes doesn't make sense, but what does Jesus say? He said, pray for those that persecute you. Bless them. Seek their blessing. Seek their good. What are you going to do? You going to do what sounds good to you or what sounds good to Jesus? Well, if you look at verse 5, Peter set down a principle that could apply there. Despite what the situation is, Jesus, that we've fished all night and we haven't caught anything because you say so, I'll let down the nets again. Imagine what the world would be like if people would do what Jesus said no matter what they thought. Can you imagine? A world where the kind of animosity that animates our land would be done away with? Who wants to see what we reap from what we've sown? I mean, the truth of the matter is we've made some decisions in this country over the last 50 years that surely haven't been the best. And now what we've decided has come back to us. What if all that time we had been saying, whatever you say, Jesus, I'll follow you. You see, that's what this change is about that we talked about in the last segment. Remember the words of Jesus to Simon. Follow me and I will make you become. Here's Simon saying, I'm willing. I'm willing. You know, I'm not able to change myself, and neither was Simon. Simon Peter had a very interesting following of Jesus, if you'll say it that way. He had his ups and downs. He argued with Jesus. He betrayed Jesus himself. You know, we get on to Judas for being a betrayer, but Peter betrayed Jesus too. The difference was that Peter came back home, and Judas ended his own chance to repent by killing himself. What Peter showed us here is that even if what Jesus says is not so sensible in our mind and in our philosophy, it's still the right thing to do, and it's the right thing to submit to it. In a few moments, we'll continue right now another song.
Stars in the sky, the universe beams with its endless display. Millions of galaxies bright, suns, planets, and moons like our own Milky Way. Millions of creatures below, the creation explodes with its species and kind. Millions of types in the sea, the earth and the air, great abundance to find. In all of creation there's more, one reason, one power, one source. There's only one Father, there's only one Son, there's only one Spirit by which we are one, only one. There's only one. There's only one truth, only one way. There's only one life we should lead every day, only one. There's only one. Father, hear what we us and guide us today.
Millions of souls on the earth, all nations and tongues with their cultures and ways. Many religious beliefs, denominations and creeds with their systems of faith. And millions of hearts so alone with no purpose to know, no direction, no goal. Millions who long to be one, they're in need of the truth, they're in need of the sun. In all of creation there's so much more. One reason, one power, one source.
There's only one Father, there's only one Son, there's only one Spirit by which we are one.
Only one.
What we see then in this story about Peter is the amazing truth that Jesus has made a promise and Jesus has shown himself to be capable of keeping the promise. The one thing that I want you to hang on to is the reaction that Peter had to Jesus and to the simple work of a miraculous catch of fish. If you look at verse 8 of Luke chapter 5, you see this statement that Peter makes that probably could be echoed by you and me. When Simon Peter saw, that is, the catch of fish, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I understand Peter. I understand how he feels. I've come face to face with the undeserving nature that I have for the gift that God has given for me. I can't believe that God would value me to the point of paying for me with Jesus. And yet there are two verses that are recorded in the book of Romans that give us a little insight. You know, we have all heard verses like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." The very pointed nature of the sacrifice of Jesus is talked about here in Romans chapter 5, in verse 6 and verse 8. "While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8, "God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I want you to understand that what Peter felt that day in his statement to go away from me, Lord, did not mean that Peter didn't want the benefit of fellowship with Jesus. It was just that all of a sudden he realized that Jesus and me were not alike. You see, that's what this change is about. It's not that Jesus asks you to follow him and stay as you are. Just keep the problems you've got. Keep the struggles you've got. Keep the sin you've got. No, what Jesus did and what he does is take you from where you are to where you need to be. That's what Romans 5 is about. While we were helpless, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I challenge you to spend this week in prayer for our nation. Pray that the gospel will be effective in changing the lives of people. We need change. You join us next week on the Word of Life. We'll continue our study there. For now, God bless you.